Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we have a very special guest, actually two of them. Deacon Frank Chavez is in charge of the diaconate program for the Diocese of Orange. And it is such a thrill, having known Deacon Frank now for many, many years, to have you on the show. So welcome, Deacon.
Good to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. And also back again by popular demand is my bride of 45 years, Marianne Greco. Welcome, Marianne.
Thank you. Great to be here, especially with Deacon Frank.
Absolutely. I think the door was open for us during the diaconate formation in such a big way, with the emphasis and the focus on Catholic social teaching. And that's the title of this show, is really the beauty of Catholic social teaching. When we think about being Catholic, a lot of this comes down to understanding the truth about what social teaching is within the church and why it's so important. We know how critical the sacraments are. We know how critical our faith, our traditions are within the church. But a huge part of our tradition is really making a difference for God's people. And that's at the very root of what Catholic social teaching is. Your thoughts on that, Deacon?
Exactly. And that's our tradition, rich, rich as it is, because our bishops have defined for us the tenets of Catholic social teaching based on not just their ideas or their philosophies, but based on Scripture, the Gospel, and based on thousands of years of teaching by our bishops and our popes in the encyclicals and catechetical writings in many ways. So it's not just a whim. It is the Gospel. It defines who we are as Catholic Christians. It challenges us to these are our values as Catholic Christians.
Take a look, my brothers and sisters, at the letter from St. James. And as we look at this in chapter 2, starting in verse 14, he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear, has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat well,' but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead." This is so important, my brothers and sisters, to understand. To what extent are you living out your faith? To what extent are you living out what God is calling us to do to build up the body, to make a difference to those that are hurting? Let's take a look at the very first theme of Catholic social teaching, and that's the life and dignity of the human being, of that human person. The value of life is so critical. What are the different ways that that's manifested, Deacon Frank?
And I would add, too, Deacon Steve, that all of the others are pretty much based there. You can always refer to the first one of the sanctity of all human life. In other words, we are all created in the image and likeness of God, and we should be respected and cared for. Everyone from the baby in the womb to the person in jail and everybody in between. That talks about immigrants, the poor, the rich, the homeless, everybody. They have a right to a honor, to respect, to a wonderful life. So that's what it means.
I can't begin to tell you enough about the trip that we just went on to the Philippines fairly recently. And this is our second trip. 50% of the children don't go to school because there's no one to help them get to school. We, our ministry, Spiritful Hearts, we're supporting now six different schools.
Wonderful.
Over there. But give you an idea, all run by sisters and so forth of various orders. But one of the schools we went to, we visited, and they're doing such an amazing job. But it was one-third full, one-third capacity.
Wow.
at $340 a year per person, per child. And it was one-third because there wasn't enough people to support the children to be able even to go to school. You know, that's an example of, you know, we have to hold in this highest degree the value of supporting children, supporting people. And it's so critical as we think through, you know, where we are right now in terms of making a difference with those around us. But your thoughts on that, Deacon Frank?
Deacon Steve, that's a great example because those children are God's children, are our brothers and sisters. So you're taking care of them in a very special way by giving them the tool of education, by forming them. I think there's nothing better we can spend our money on than education. That's one of my sayings. And that's what you're doing. I also like the saying that, you know what you're doing? You're putting your money where your mouth is. If we believe in human dignity, what you're doing with dollars is supporting these kids and giving them an education. Bravo.
Amen, amen, amen. And you should have seen the looks on the sisters' faces knowing the fact that they weren't alone, that they're being supported.
I think on your first trip, Steve, you mentioned that there were children that were just put out in the street. They weren't wanted. And was it the Sisters of Charity that picked them up? And many of them weren't of the Catholic faith, but they took them in and they gave them a home, a place to live. And it reminds me of Scripture when the early Christians in Rome, if they didn't want children, they would just throw the child out right after it was born. We have letters that indicate this. And they would throw them into the river that goes through Rome. And the Christians would hide out in the shadows, and they would pick up the children as soon as they saw them abandoned. And they would take them into their homes and raise them as their own. So we see this from the very beginning of Christianity, that respecting of life and taking care of others. They're not ours, but they are. We're all part of one family of God.
A couple examples here locally in Orange County is Obraya, which takes care of women who are pregnant and gives them the wonderful option of glorifying that life that's in their womb. Casa Teresa takes care of homeless pregnant women. Mary's Shelter, homeless pregnant teenage girls. And that's another example of putting our money where our mouth is.
Amen.
And taking care of these kids. And God, and once you get to know them, as you did in the Philippines, what a wonderful part of God's creation they are.
Yeah, and I was fortunate to be on the board of Birth Choice for many years that now has changed their name to Obraya. But at the end of the day, it is, and I know you've been involved in Casa Teresa on the board for so many years.
Right.
And, you know, my brothers and sisters, this show is broadcast in a number of different states around the country. Find out what God is calling you to do. Find out, is it making a difference through those women that are struggling with pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies? Is it helping those that are really homeless, that you can make a difference there in helping them find some place to live? Is it helping children out, orphanages? I mean, all kinds of things.
I also think we have to also address the other spectrum of life, and that is the elderly people. A lot of them are sitting in homes, and they are in a nursing home or someplace, and they have no family. I ran into that when I was visiting my mother, and there are people out there that don't have anything and anybody to share with them, and they deserve that respect of life as well, to be treated with respect and not abandoned either.
I know the church here in Orange County is doing a lot of work now in palliative care, exactly as you were talking, Marianne. Those years where our minds go and our bodies go, those folks, like my mom right now, need to be cared for and loved. And maybe we don't get anything back physically, but there it is again, the other spectrum, the sanctity of life.
I have a friend who's just started volunteering and working in one of those centers. And so, you know, that's another area where we can express that love.
It's saying yes to Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and one of the things that our mutual friend, Father Ben Tran, rather, says when he sees me and I say to him is, thank you for your yes. And so, isn't that great?
Wonderful.
You know, and that's really, my brothers and sisters, that's why I'm going to say to you right now, Jesus is saying this to you right now. Thank you for your yes. Yes to Jesus. Yes to support the life and dignity of the human being. Yes, to support the unborn. Yes, to support those that are in detention ministry or in prison. Yes, to support those that are the elderly or those that are shut-ins and so forth. That yes makes such a big difference. But we have to make that conscious decision to say, I'm going to make this a priority, which is so important because we get all busy and come up with all reasons not to do it. But we've got to make, you know, supporting human person, the life and dignity of the human person, we have to make that a priority.
I'll give you an example, Deacon Steve. Maybe you're reluctant of not putting it as priority by going to a jail and visiting our brothers and sisters who are in there or in a prison. But oftentimes, people who have been very afraid of that, intimidated, understandably, once they go and look into the eyes of those young men and women or whatever age, they're changed, they're converted, they give an even more resounding yes to Jesus. Because I know a lot of folks have told me, those who are fearful of going in, they come, Frank, I found Jesus today.
Amen.
In the jail.
Amen.
There he was.
We're going to talk more about Catholic social teaching of life and dignity of the human person and detention ministry, visiting those that are incarcerated in jails or prisons, when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Brecko on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Brecko, and we are back high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we're so fortunate to have Deacon Frank Chavez, who heads up the diaconate ministry here in the Diocese of Orange, California. Marianne Greco, my wife, and we're talking about the life and dignity of the human person as part of Catholic social teaching. Before I go on any further, I'm going to embarrass him probably a little bit, but surround yourself, my brothers and sisters, with people who make a difference in your life. And Deacon Frank Chavez has made a difference in so many people's lives. We are so fortunate here in the Diocese of Orange, and I know that there are people like him, counterparts in all dioceses everywhere. But I wouldn't be sitting here right now without Deacon Frank and without the Holy Spirit working through him, because he sees through the eyes of Jesus the people's potential. And that is so important, is that I'll never forget when I first was going through the application process, I wasn't sure, and he saw that and asked me to come in and chat with him. But he gave me hope and he gave me encouragement. And that's what we are to be. We are to be encouragers. But thank you, Deacon Frank,
You're
for
welcome.
All that you've done for me personally, for
You're
Marianne,
welcome.
And for all of us.
And I think a lot of our job is exactly that, Deacon Steve, introduce people to Jesus.
Amen.
And see the potential in you to be Jesus for other folks. And then the rest, I think the Spirit will take care of it. So.
And one of the greatest thrills of my life was the many years and that we have been involved in some ways, still are involved with detention ministry, working with those incarcerated men and women of 7 years in terms of the diaconate formation. And then beyond that, so important. And I have to tell you a
yes.
little quick story, if I could. On this trip to Philippines, the last one too, we went to one of the prisons. This one, we went to the jail. Four thousand. They're picking them up off the streets for drugs and whatever. We ministered, laid hands, and prayed over almost 1,000 men who were incarcerated there. They had rosaries on. Mm-hmm. They made the sign of the cross. Mm-hmm. You could see that in their eyes, the love, the thirsting for Jesus. My brothers and sisters, it makes such a big difference. All the years that we did it in Orange County, when you go in there, you are Jesus's hands, eyes, heart, you know, the very embodiment of God's love, of the love of Jesus. And many times, if you think of it in these terms, we are the only Jesus that maybe some of them will ever see. Or
that's correct.
You that's know, correct. And it makes such a big difference.
A lot of them will say to us oftentimes, first of all, oftentimes they say thank you. They can't believe you're coming in here for me.
Amen.
You're God, I'm so grateful that you're here. And then they say things like, when, especially Dick and Steve, when we tell them God loves you, Jesus is your friend, they'll say things to us like, nobody's ever told me that before.
Amen.
I've never heard that, that I'm loved, that Jesus is my brother. And you're absolutely right. That could be the one link that they have to the Lord and to our faith.
Jesus has told us 365 times, be not afraid. Yeah. You know, Scripture has it. Be not afraid. You know, do not fear. Marianne, I know you weren't exactly embracing this ministry in the beginning.
No, it's hard. You don't know what to expect. It's something you've never experienced going in. And, you're reluctant. We have a lot of people in the diaconate program that have that feeling in the beginning. And, and I have to admit that each time we'd go, I'd get that little feeling like, oh, you go, Steve. I don't really want to go. And he'd say, now, Marianne, let's go. And every time, by the time I got with the people, I felt so blessed. And it was like, I think the Holy Spirit lifts you up. He gives you the words. He gives you the love for these people. And it is such a blessing. Like you said, Deacon Frank, I'm the one that feels blessed because of them.
Right.
And it's just that moment where you're being in union with these people.
And it's not to deny that they made mistakes. What we're not saying is let them all out. We're compassionate, not stupid, So the reality is these folks have sinned, but that doesn't make them any less in the image of God and in God's love, so that we are there to assure them of that no matter what they've done.
We've all sinned. And so,
amen.
You look at them and you say, I'm with you. We're one, we're family with the Lord.
Or there by the grace of God go I. Yeah.
Exactly.
If it wasn't for good parents, for good priests, for good teachers, for good friends, that could be me.
And many of you right now are feeling in a prison of your own, and God wants to free you of that. But one way of freeing your own prison is to focus on other people, loving other people, making a difference in being Jesus to other people. Now, since this is, again, in many stations around the country, what do they do to get interested, not to get interested, but to find out more about detention ministry in their area, in their diocese? What would you recommend that they do?
Call the diocese of where you are, and almost every single one has an office of detention ministry. We call it restorative justice here in our diocese. But if you'll make the phone call to your diocese or archdiocese and just say what Deacon Steve just said, I want to help with visiting the inmates, and they'll more than likely connect you to the right person that'll gladly, and the other thing, they're going to train you. They're not just going to throw you behind the jail walls. They're going to give you training of what to do, what to say, following the rules, honoring what the guards teach us to do and not do. So that's step one.
And it's so important to understand that Jesus is calling you. As it says in John 15:16, it's not you who called me, but I who called you.
Right.
And appoints you to bear fruit. You're being called, but you're not being abandoned when you're being called. In other words, as Deacon Frank said, you'll be trained, and more than likely, in almost all cases, someone who is experienced will be with you.
Yes, absolutely. You'll always be partnered with somebody like maybe even a deacon or a deacon's wife who's been there many, many times, who knows what to do, who knows the songs if you're going to sing, who can give a little reflection, and pretty soon you're going to wing it yourself. It's very comfortable.
And again, often there's a communion service or a short teaching of some kind.
Yes.
We always have the Holy Spirit with us.
Amen.
Always. But let me give you an example, and because Scripture will come alive to you even more as you go through various communion services or whatever service that you may have. I often would go to Romans 8, and the first verse of Romans 8 says, Now, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My brothers and sisters, whether it be yourself as you're listening or someone who is incarcerated in prison, do not condemn yourself, because Jesus doesn't condemn you.
Right.
Jesus loves you unconditionally. He died on the cross for you. He has forgiven you. As we go on in Romans chapter 8, It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption through which we can say, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. How important is that? To understand that you are adopted child of God. And if you're in prison, you're still an adopted child of God.
Right. No exceptions.
No exceptions. Mm-hmm. And as you go on in Romans chapter 8, when it says that in the same way the Spirit comes to aid our weakness, and in verse 28, it says we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Marianne, people need to understand whether there be a setback, they may be incarcerated in jail, in prison, they may have issues with family, with health, with job, or whatever, but God uses everything to good when we turn to him and believe in him and have faith and are called.
Yes, and he does. If we turn to him, we can learn from things, we can grow from things, we can even use our mistakes to help others. Mm-hmm. Not make those mistakes, or to share how God has helped us through our mistakes. And it's so important to share that with others. And I think those in prison, they are so thankful. We come and we share our love for them, and we give them dignity that they're of value and God loves them. Because sometimes when you're in those difficult times or you're in prison anyway, you tend to not feel God's love or understand it's there. So we need to bring that hope and love to others.
And you take a look at verses 38 and 39 of Romans chapter 8. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. My brothers and sisters, there is nothing that will separate you from the love of Jesus. And whether we're incarcerated or we're depressed or wherever we are, that message is so important, Deacon Frank, to get out to people.
Let me tell you the story of my granddaughter. At a preschool grandparents' day, of course, my wife and I were there. Our granddaughter is very bright and
awesome.
Talkative. She had no problem with self-esteem. It's like her grandmother. And the principal at the preschool said, who here in this class is going to tell us why you love your grandparents? Why do you love your grandparents? And of course, she raises her hand. So they ask Abby, why do you love your grandparents? And she said, because they're mine.
Wow.
That's the way God loves us.
Wow.
No conditions, because we belong to him. There's nothing in between. Like it, exactly what you just read of Deacon Steve in Romans there. Nothing can separate us from the love of God.
My brother.
Great wisdom there from my granddaughter.
That is great wisdom, and she has great grandparents.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirit, talking about Catholic social teaching. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We're here with Deacon Frank Chavez, the head of the Diaconate Community, as well as Marianne Greco, talking about Catholic social teaching. And we've been highlighting some of the important things of working with the poor, the life and dignity of the human person, talking about detention ministry. Another important teaching and theme within Catholic social teaching is the area of solidarity. Tell us what that means, Deacon Frank.
It means that we are a community. We are the body of Christ. We are bound to each other by our humanity, and we should respect that in each other and understand that. And a lot of our division, a lot of our anger, a lot of our separation judgment, racism, whatever you want to call it, can be lifted up, and we can be relieved of that if we see each other as one human family. Can I give you an example?
Please.
When the Apollo astronauts, one of their missions, were up in the air, looking down at the world, I think they even quoted scripture, they looked down and they looked down at our world and they said, you know what? There's no borders. There's no boundaries.
Right.
We draw those. We make those distinctions. You know, understandably, we need governments and all that. But to see each other as one human family, that's what solidarity means.
You know, and for me, again, having come back from the Philippines and being called there a number of times, I didn't feel like, oh, I was in this other country,
no,
whatever.
Right.
It was
that's
like,
right.
They're just human beings
exactly.
That
like
are
you.
Like me and God's creation. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been called to go to several countries in Africa now and, you know, to Ghana, to Nigeria, to do a major event in Nigeria. And it's so important, Marianne, that we understand that wherever we are Jesus to the people that are there, and they look at us as their brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. And we concentrate so much on differences. I think we need to really look at the things that we have in common with each other. And it's such a blessing if we can approach life that way. And when one of my brothers is hurting, that, you know, I should be hurting as well for them. And this is tough stuff sometimes, because I think in our society as Americans, we're trained certain ways, but, you know, we answer to God first. And I like to look at it as when we get to heaven, we're going to be with those people.
Yeah, right next to us at the table.
That's right.
You're going to be surprised who's going to be sitting next to you.
Amen, amen. And we're going to be so joyful,
hey,
right?
Well, that's true.
It's going to be so joyful.
Very, very true. Marianne, you said something really cool. I think we as parents have dreams for our children. But you know what? Those people in the Philippines, Steve, that you met, those people you're going to meet in Africa, they have the same dreams for their kids.
Amen.
They want the best for their kids. They want education for their kids. They want a good job for their kids, just like our hopes and dreams for our kids. There's solidarity.
Amen. And they want to be clothed. They want to be housed.
Yes.
You know, they want to feel loved.
Amen.
They want to feel supported, that they're not alone. And, you know, it was amazing. I was, I have to tell you this quick story.
Sure.
We went to the feast of Señor Santo Niño, you know. Infant Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we assisted in four masses at the Basilica, including the actual feast day and the vigil and so forth.
Beautiful.
But the very first mass of that week, the whole week, you know, they do 9-day novena to Señor Santo Niño. And the very first day, though, we went to the very first church. We went to a church in the poorest of the poor areas. And the place was packed. It was unbelievable. We were there 45 minutes early. It was already like standing room only. And this very young priest, and I'll do a shout out to Father June, but Father June probably won't hear this, but that's okay. He's just so dynamic and so full of Jesus. He comes to the altar as the mass is beginning, and he just says one thing with a big smile on his face. He says, "Viva Señor Santo Niño," and everyone stands, you know, all these poorest of the poor people, they all stand at the same time, shouting, you know, raising their right arm, shouting out, "Viva Señor Santo Niño, Pit Señor," you know, and it was unbelievable in terms of the love that they had for Jesus, and I felt at home.
And they said those words in solidarity.
In solidarity.
They were one.
All at the same time.
Exactly.
One in the Lord.
Remember when John Paul II was shot in Rome? Didn't we, the whole world, not just Catholics. I remember even Reverend Schuller here in Orange County said some beautiful things about the Holy Father and how we had met him once and the things he believed. And the whole world kind of, we're all of a sudden, we're all Catholics or all united in solidarity because we love that man so much. And we wanted to express our concern and our prayers. There's a good example of when the world joined together in solidarity.
Absolutely. Another example of solidarity, of being one with the world, is going to the Holy Land. that we've been to, you know, on four occasions, praise God, hoping to have five soon, who knows. And one of our favorite places is Inkeron. And Inkeron is the visitation where the Blessed Mother Mary came to see Elizabeth. And you had quite an experience there, Marianne.
I did. I was sitting outside the church. There was a lot of singing going on in the church. And I was just sitting in a lovely garden reflecting when out comes a group of people. And they were singing a song and a tune that I recognized. But they were in a... And it was Russian, but I don't know how I knew that other than maybe their name tags as they were coming out. But I just kind of started singing that song to myself with them because I knew the words in English. And this woman looked at me and our eyes met and we knew instantly. I still bring tears to my eyes. We were sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
That was that love that we were there because of Jesus. And neither one of us said a word to each other. We went up and gave each other big hugs, and then she went on her way. And it was just this...
And both crying, too.
Yeah. It was like we were focused on the Lord, and we, you know, I know someday I'll see her and I'll find out what her name is. But it was just that if we focus on the Lord, what we have together is so beautiful.
You were singing in solidarity.
Yeah.
Even though the languages were different.
Right.
Yeah, it was amazing. And another experience happened when we were at the Church of the Beatitudes. I think you were there, and there was a whole group from France, and they started singing the Ave Maria there.
Ooh,
in French.
Wow.
And it was just incredibly beautiful. When we look at people, as children of God, everything changes, Deacon Frank.
Absolutely, absolutely. I remember one time and a friend of ours who was trying to help out folks with AIDS. They have a center. Mother Teresa did a lot of this. He sent out a card once, and he said that it was kind of controversial. And it said, "The body of Christ has AIDS." In other words, it said, we are all impacted by these people. Whatever they did, you know, we understand that. Whatever happened to get them to this point. But nonetheless, we are in solidarity with them because we need to take care of them. We need to pray for them. We need to reassure them of God's love. That's one example that I often think about.
When we have our diaconate programs and masses, the singing in different languages.
Oh, wow.
Why is that so important?
Because it defines exactly what we are, solidarity. I love when we do the rosary in different languages. Here in Orange County, you know, we have five common languages. And when we have liturgies, when we sing in different languages, the response in particular, it does bring us together, doesn't it? And we recognize that those folks, again, have the same dreams, the same hopes, the same aspirations as I do.
Amen.
So when you hear it in Spanish, in English, in Korean, in Mandarin, in Hmong, in Indonesian, I'm going through all the languages here in Orange County. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
I think it's like a taste of, when that happens, it's a little taste of
very
heaven.
Good.
Everyone praising God at the same time and in one language.
Amen.
In a sense.
That's right.
Love, a language of love.
Mm-hmm.
Often, though, we have to get out of our comfort zone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we get, okay, well, I'm this way, and the Spanish-speaking people go over here, the Korean people go over there, and... You know, the Anglos go over there. But we learn so much.
Amen.
When we are involved with other people that come from different cultures or traditions.
I think, Deacon Steve, you have that experience in formation. In fact, at one time, the thought was to have our formation, men and their wives, the men who are preparing for ordination, to do their formation separately in their languages. And we got to a point of asking the candidates or the aspirants, and they said, no, don't separate us because we've learned so much from each other. And, you know, even though, like you said, you had certain thoughts and you make certain judgments or you make certain thoughts about those people, whatever language they speak, and until you hear their story.
Yeah.
And when you hear their story, there's the bond. There's the solidarity.
all of us are created by God to love him, to know him, and to serve him. Mm-hmm. All of us are created by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with Jesus. And when we are not, meaning the fact that when we sin and move away from him, there's a hole that needs to be filled by Jesus. Mm-hmm. When we put it at that level, then we truly are brothers and sisters.
Amen. It's difficult sometimes. We speak different languages. We dress differently. We eat different food. We have different cultural traditions. So to step out and try to get to know that person and realize that they are a child of Christ like I am, that takes a little bit of guts to take that big step towards joining them in solidarity.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about Catholic social teaching. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Frank Chavez, who heads up the diaconate for the Diocese of Orange. Marianne Greco, my bride, we've been talking about really how much God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Loves us so much that he has created us to love him, but to love each other. As the scripture says, to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's manifested through Catholic social teaching. That's really what it's about, mm-hmm. love in action. The life and dignity of the human person, the call to family, community, and participation, the option for the poor, and we've talked a lot about that, solidarity, that we are one in him, very important.
But you know, go ahead, you know, one thing that shows the dignity of who we are as human beings, that God could have come here in different ways, but he came as a human being.
Amen.
What a dignity that gives us. To eat with us, to walk with us, even to die as we do. Well, not quite as he did, but nonetheless, all of that, to suffer, to laugh, to have a good time, to grow up.
What an honor, right?
Yes.
What a blessing. You know, what a gift.
What an honor that he chose. That's an honor to our humanity.
Amen. Amen. Deacon Frank, who is, I've spent a lot of time talking about how wonderful he is, because that's the way I see him through God's eyes. You know, it's how blessed he is.
Wonderful too.
Thank you.
And so is Marianne.
But Deacon Frank Chavez, obviously coming up in a different culture.
You know,
in speaking
Spanish
and mm-hmm. so forth. And one of our networks that this show is aired on is primarily Spanish. So
cool.
Do you have a word for them?
Algo en español.
Amen.
Is that what you want me to do?
Yes.
Estamos hablando de las enseñanzas de católicas sociales que nos dice que todos nosotros somos seres humanos, pero estamos creados en la imagen de Dios. Hay un honor, un gran honor, un gran amor de Dios para nosotros, y por eso es tan importante entender eso.
Amen. Which means?
It means we are love. We're talking about Catholic social teaching to realize that.
Amen.
That we are one together, that we are honored as a human being.
Now, one of these areas, themes of Catholic social teaching is rights and responsibilities. Tell us what that is.
It's a challenge because, yes, we have rights. We have a right to food. We have a right to a good home, to shelter, to a good job, but at the same time, we have responsibilities. We have a responsibility as Christians to know our faith and then to live our faith. And what these do, they give us the values. So I have a responsibility to vote, to know the issues, to know the candidates. I have a responsibility to follow the rules, to obey the law, to stop at a red light, to serve on juries, to help out at my church, to help out in the community. That's a responsibility I have to the community and to each other. It's not just sitting there and enjoying all the wonderful things God gives me. There's more to it. For example, when you vote, tremendous, tremendous responsibility. Somebody told me once, it's a mortal sin not to vote. Because we as Catholic Christians, so if you're trying to decide how to vote, just look at these seven tenets. This is how you judge the issue or the candidates. And the church, our bishops honor us, and they say, here are our values. Now, you're a smart person. You're created in the image of God. You have a brain. You form your conscience and vote, but vote, hopefully, with these as values in your voting, in your responsibility as a Catholic Christian, but also an American.
It's easy to stick our head in the ground and ignore issues.
Exactly.
You know, that's safe for us. Yeah. But it takes time and effort to be responsible and to make a difference. And yet we're called to do that in every part of our life. If we are to follow God, we are to do it in every aspect of our life. And that's in reaching out and taking responsibility for things in the world, not just our little home and our little life.
Now, there is a big difference, my brothers and sisters, between charitable works and social justice. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to cover this here briefly with everyone. Charitable works is to volunteer in such things as homeless shelters or tutoring of children, assisting women who face a crisis pregnancy, donating food, sponsoring refugees' family, so many different things, visiting prisons and so forth. We can do, but social justice is to remove the root causes to improve structures, such as affordable housing, such as legal protection to unborn children, environmental protection laws, living wages, promoting peace. That's a big difference from just, in a sense, works of mercy. It is making a difference in changing, again, the structure of what we do in terms of voting and so forth, but really getting involved beyond voting.
And that's the hard part, because that gets you into politics, that gets you into the community, that gets you on issues, and to take the stand and take the heat from other people, because we want to change the laws, we want to change the institutions, we want to change what causes those things, what causes homelessness, what causes diseases, what causes different things, lawlessness. How do we change the structures so that things won't be available? For example, I know a lot of our problems in society are based on the lack of a good family. So what can we do to enhance, to teach, to help other families, moms and dads, be better parents? I know a lot of in some communities, particularly the dads, they're not there. They're incarcerated, they're in the system, they're gone, they're for lots of reasons. For some reasons, maybe they're good reasons, they're out working somewhere. But how can I help so that won't be the situation that family faces?
I see, in other words, it's like put our walk where our talk is.
Amen.
It's you know, we can complain about this. Oh, it's because there's lack of family structure anymore. Well, what are we going to do?
Yes.
Get out and do something. You
right.
know, volunteer to help someone learn how to be a better parent or go out there and do something rather than just complain about it.
Right now in California, it's now legal. We passed, not me, but the voters passed an assisted suicide law. So now if you have somebody, and I understand the compassion of it because my mom's in that situation. If you have somebody that's really, really, really sick, I mean, just totally gone. Now we have the option in California to help them die, which is totally against the first tenet of isn't life sacred in all its cases? So what can we do now as Californians to change the laws, to talk to our legislators, to provide palliative care, so that that won't be necessary? What can we put there? That's the justice piece. But you can see that's the hard part.
Amen. But that's the part where we basically say yes to Jesus. Use me in whatever gifts and talents I have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the most important things, my brothers and sisters, for you to reflect upon is that during this Lenten season that we pray to say, Lord, use me in whatever way you want me to be used. You don't have to do everything.
No.
No one can do everything. But it's so important to understand you need to do something.
Yes.
And you need to say yes to Jesus to say, okay, what is it that you want me to do? And to follow the passion that God puts in your heart.
And Bishop Romero said in his famous prayer, do one thing and do it well. Just one. Amen. And if I can take one step and get really, really good at it, what a gift to the solidarity, the responsibility that I have as a citizen. You're absolutely right, Deacon Steve. We can't do everything. If I think of all the problems I have just here around me, I'd go nuts. So what can I have the talent to do? What gifts has God given me in order to make a difference?
I know, and I'm looking at our producer and someone that you've heard on the show a number of times, Michael Amola, and we're very active in terms of employment and getting people back to work. He's
great.
Very active, more than me, but in housing, you know, and low-income housing and helping people in that way. But God puts your passion in a certain area, you know, and whatever that area might be,
that's
the one to say yes to.
A justice issue. The number one social problem in Orange County, where we live, affordable housing.
Amen.
That's number one.
Yeah.
So how come we have four or five families in one teeny little house? Well, they can't afford it. Their jobs, their incomes can't reach the level of paying rent in an apartment that's bigger and more and safer and healthier for that family. So,
Deacon Frank, it's been really wonderful having you on the show. And Marianne, as always, really, really wonderful. You had a final word, Marianne.
Oh, and just for the parents out there, you know, it's important for us to really talk about these issues with our children.
Amen.
Because if we don't bring it up and talk it within our families, then they're not going to see the needs and the ways they can give back and have the solidarity with the rest of the world.
And as our final word, may Heavenly Father, Heavenly good and gracious God, may you truly bless us with that courage to make a difference, to say yes to you, to be used by you in whatever area that you called us to do. We ask this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.